Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 12 today. First John 3, verse 7, we are children of God. We read that last time. His sons and his daughters. Our Father loves us. We read in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That's why the world doesn't know us. They don't know him. We're children of God and we look different to the world. But he loves us, and we're children of God. All because we're born again through our choice to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. John has been teaching on behavior, becoming a child of God, godly conduct. And we read previously that one who has this new life in Christ has been made righteous in him and will not practice sin. Because we're a new person, and we can't live in that anymore. That's inconsistent. We read in verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. They won't be practicing sin. And whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Who can live in it? They don't really know him. In other words, God's children are different than those that belong to the devil. And if you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil, even though people don't know it. But that's who they're following, where they're going to end up. And so there's behavior that's different. We abide in Christ. They love the world. And so he says in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. See, deceivers were around in this early church, powered by Satan. And he didn't want them to deceive the Christians. They were spreading false doctrine, denying that Jesus is the Christ. And so he writes to them, little children, and we're all children of God. Little children, don't let anyone deceive you. He says, don't follow them. And here's how you're going to tell who knows the truth and who's born again and who isn't. He said, whoever sins, who practices sin, you know, let no one deceive you. We read earlier, who practices sin doesn't know him, but the one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who lives righteous, lives this way, practices the way of Christ, abides in Jesus, obeys the Lord, he says, they're righteous just as Jesus is righteous, and we're clothed in his righteousness. In other words, one that's born of God will live accordingly because they are a new creation. When you and I gave our life to Christ, we became new people. We became born again. This chapter in 1 John is really saying if one is a true born-again believer, they're going to live according to that new nature. Doesn't mean they won't fall to sin, but they'll confess, repent. But it means they'll live for the Lord. They won't practice it, remain in it. And if people don't live that way, the way the Lord wants, and they don't have the power to, it means they're not born again. They can try to be better, but they won't be. It may last for a while, but they won't be better. As we studied in 2 Peter chapter 2, you know, verse 22, we went over that Sunday too. They'll go back, just like a pig will go back to rolling in the mud and a dog returns to his vomit. The person that's not truly born again, they may go to church and say they're a Christian, but it won't last. They'll go back to wanting to be in the world. That's where they live. That's where they practice their life. They're uncomfortable in following Jesus. We should be uncomfortable practicing sin and comfortable following the Lord because we have a new nature and we want to live after that new nature. We have the Holy Spirit. In other words, a true believer, he's saying, will practice what they preach. He says, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. One obeys God if they're righteous, the other doesn't. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it. He was sorry he said that, and he went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise, you know, go work in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." Would you rather have someone that's always talking the talk and how they're going to do this and do that? Or be more spiritual or pray more or attend church more or whatever and not do it? Or would you rather have one that says, "No, I'm not going to do that," but then thinks about it and does it? See, it's the one who has it in his heart, inside, that practices what he preaches, that's the one that's truly saved. Not the one that talks it. We all know those people who, man, they're just so great and they can do everything and they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they don't end up doing anything. They don't really know the Lord. It's the one that does it. So back to our text, verse 8. So a person who practices righteousness, the one who lives it, that's the one that's righteous, just as Jesus is. But he who sins is of the devil. And this is talking about this practicing sin. Who's comfortable in it, who continues in it, who sins is of the devil. Whose lifestyle is in that sinful life in the world is of the devil. Now, people don't think that they're following Satan, but they are. Anyone that's lost is following Satan. He's deceiving them. They're blinded. They don't know that they're going to hell. They think someday that God's just going to say, "Okay, you're a good guy. Come on into heaven." God can't do that because he's just. And sin has to be washed away. And Jesus is the only one that can wash it away. So a lot of people that think they're good and they're okay and they're going to go to heaven are going to be surprised. And they're comfortable in the world and they can live in sin. He says, they're really of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. That's why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We all start out as sinners. It says that the devil has sinned from the beginning. Do you agree that he sinned from the beginning? He was in the garden doing what? Tempting others to sin. He's still doing that. Isn't that sick? He's got nothing better to do than to get a lot of company in hell. But since the beginning, he sinned, and he wants others to sin. And for that purpose, that's why God sent Jesus, so that man could be saved and not follow his path to hell. He says, that's why Jesus came, that he would destroy the works of the devil. It doesn't say destroy the devil, because he's still around. But destroy the works of the devil. In other words, conquer the devil. He gave us victory over it. You know, Satan's work is to lead people to sin, to disobey God. In Genesis 3, verse 1 to 5, we see that. He tempted Eve, got Eve to sin, and Adam to sin. That's his work. He's disobedient to God. Jesus was obedient to God the Father, and he conquered sin. You see, Satan desires to work, and he works at getting people to go against God. That's what he wants to do, get people to go against God. But God the Father sent Jesus to destroy the works of the devil. That word means to annul. To put it away. He says, I'm going to give you a chance. where you don't have to be bound by sin and follow sin. I'm going to give you a chance to have a new life and to go to heaven. That's why Jesus came, so we could be forgiven and have victory over sin. And there is hope. One doesn't have to follow the flesh and end up in the lake of fire. Jesus is our hope. A person can have a new life and a new nature. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is what he's talking about. He gave us victory, defeated sin, and defeated it for us if we follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We still have this fleshly nature, but we no longer have to follow Satan. We can have victory through Jesus and go to heaven. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In other words, I'm going to get rid of this sentence of death from the devil. I'm going to have victory, give you victory over sin. Rob the power of it that sin has over you. You know, one day, Jesus is going to return to rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. But then Satan's going to be loosed. And he still is going to lead people to sin. And we see that in Revelation 20. Shows you people still choose sin. But then after that, he is going to be bound and cast into the lake of fire forever. So this won't happen again where people are tempted. That'll be all over. He's given us victory. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Whoever has been born of God has been born again, does not practice sin. Now, and not, it's not saying that everyone who professes that doesn't sin. It's saying this is the way the one that is born again is. They don't practice sin. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. When you're born again, you're truly born again. It's not like you're born again today, but not born again tomorrow. It means that new nature, his seed, will be in you, and you won't want to live in it because you don't want to do that. You want to follow the Lord. And you have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. He does not practice sin because his seed remains in us. The seed is the new life, the new nature. Cannot practice the old. A person that isn't born again has no problem going back to the old life and not following Jesus anymore. But when that's born again, can't do that. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that's how we purify ourselves, by obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, this is the seed that's in us, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We have this incorruptible seed in us. We now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have this new life. We're new people with a new nature. And that's there. And we have a new direction. And we don't even think of going back to the old life. People that can, they're not born again. They never were born again. Back to verse 9. Whoever has been born of sin does not sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, we know that in John 1, we become children of God. Verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Here's how you can tell the difference. This is how it's made known. The children of God and the children of the devil. You realize that everybody is the child of one of these two? Is what it's telling us? I think if people really understood they were a child of the devil, they might think about it. I don't think they think that. But really, if you're not a child of God and not born again, you're a child of the devil. Because that's where you're going with him. But if you're a child of God born again, you're a child of God. Because it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. It's one or the other. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. The children of God are known by their practice, their living out of the new life of righteousness. They're living for God. That's how they're known. They now live for God. God is first. We've been saved by grace for good works, to live righteous and to bear fruit. And if a person doesn't practice that, they're not born of God. They're not born again. We live practicing righteousness, and who doesn't is not born of God. Practicing righteousness means living out, doing what's right in God's eyes, doing things his way. It's not being a good person according to the world, because the world might say, you're not a good person if you don't accept everybody's lifestyle. So it's not being a good person according to the world. It's, you notice, a person of God is identified by practicing righteousness. They do what's right in God's eyes. If God says it's wrong to do this and the world says it's right to do this, we don't do it. He says that's how you tell the difference. We practice the righteousness of God. We obey him. Whereas the world says, no, do this, because this is what's right now. So you can tell by who practices righteousness. If they don't, they're not of God. In other words, a Christian can't be on the fence and agree with the world sometime and with God sometime. You're wholly into God or you're not. Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. That's what he's saying. This is my life, following the Lord, practicing what's right. Even when I sin, I confess because the Bible tells me to, so I'm still following what he tells me to do. Not of God. And if we don't love our brother, that shows that the love of God is not in us. And it's doing what's right in God's eyes and doing things his way at work, at home, at school, at play, in church. This verse doesn't say, he who practices church. It says he who practices righteousness, godliness, going to church, and doing all spiritual things is not what it says. It says practicing a righteous life. Some people do things to fulfill obligation or to feel good about themselves or have some spirituality. It's living out our faith that shows we're a Christian, wherever we are. Being in fellowship, serving the Lord, in the Word of God, praying, not lying, cheating, or committing sexual immorality, as some people tell you it's okay to do. It's seeking God first. It's doing the right thing and not the sinful thing. Because that's what a Christian is. Many people are deceived. They think they can do certain religious obligations, go to church on Easter or Sunday or give money to a project or feed the poor, and they think they're okay because they earn favor with God. He says you have to be practicing God's righteousness, which includes not forsaking the assembly of yourself together, praying without ceasing, loving one another, worshiping God. In other words, God says, I want your life. You know, I want you. I want your life. I want you to follow me. and practice this righteousness. It's, if you don't, you're not of God. If you don't love your brother, you're not. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. See, loving one another is part of being a Christian. Jesus said, you're going to know my disciples by their love for one another. We have to love others. Even if they're not like us, we need to love them. God loves us. That's part of practicing righteousness, loving your brother. You know, in Matthew 22, Jesus said, that's the greatest commandment, loving God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And you'll know my disciples by their love. Now, these words were written so that they could detect false teachers and those that weren't really believers. Because that's how you're going to tell. They're into themselves. Don't follow them. You're going to practice what Jesus said. You're going to have godly righteousness in your life. And you're to love one another. And he gives us an example of loving one another, of the kind of love that is not of God. He says in verse 12, he says, you're to love one another, but not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Why did Cain murder Abel? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. And people say, you know, they wonder why this happened. It says here that Cain killed Abel. He murdered his brother because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He got mad at him. Jealous. Cain, the wicked one, murdered his brother. He was led by Satan. He's used as a bad example here today. You know, today people hate righteous Christians. They don't like it. So Cain didn't like Abel because he was righteous. And people can't stand righteous people. Let's see what happened there. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, verses 1 to 8. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a shepherd, raising sheep, bringing life into the world. The sheep were, and he tended them. Cain was a farmer. He's tilling the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So they knew something about worshiping God. They knew God, and they wanted to worship God. And so Cain brought something that he grew in the ground. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. It seems that evident that God had defined right from the beginning of time how worship was to be. There was to be what kind of sacrifice it should be, and it should be blood, because life is in the blood. It seems that was it from the beginning, that he was showing us that it's nothing that you can produce with your hands or make yourself. Coming to approach me is never going to be through something you can do. Because the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remittance of sin. Even from the beginning here, it seems it was clear to Abel that God said there has to be life given, blood. See, because God brings life, and life is in the blood. And Abel gave of the, and also the first of his flock, the best, he gave to God. And God accepted it. He respected it. But when Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, that's something he worked at doing. He grew stuff, and he says, now I'm going to give what I did to God. Well, that's not being saved by grace, is it? Now, it's always been pointing forward to Jesus. See, Cain says, I'm going to do something, I'm going to grow something, and I'm going to give it to God. He goes, no. People might think, well, that's a good thing. God says, no, it's going to be my way. I want life. I want you to give up the life. So Abel shed blood and gave up the first of his flocks, and God respected his offering. Cain didn't love righteousness, and he did evil. And what happened? What did he do? We see, as we read here, that verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? So see, it seems God told them what must be done, because he says, hey, Cain, if you did well, if you did what I told you to do, it would be accepted. Can you see that today? People want to come to God on their own terms, do what they want to do, have their own form of religion, work at it, be involved in it, and then say, well, I deserve to go to heaven. God, why don't you bless me? God's saying, unacceptable. You've got to come through Jesus. That's what I accept. I want your life. Giving your life to him, he died on the cross for your sins. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. He says, and do you notice this? He still gave him a chance. He came with the wrong thing, not God's way, and people come their own way. But then God speaks to them and reveals the way of grace, that you've got to come to Jesus. People say, well, I'm a very religious person. God says, no, I don't want that. I want you to be a Christian, one that receives Jesus, what I gave to you. Do it my way. And so he gave him a chance. But he says, no, it's my way or no way, God. That's what people say. It's going to be my way. Because he said, if you do well, I'll accept you. But if you don't, hey, sin's right there and it's going to rule over you. You should be ruling over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. I'd say this guy's pretty mad and pretty upset. Really, at God. Because he had another chance and he says, no, instead I'm going to be proud and do it my way. And I don't like this Cain, I don't like this guy Abel, because you accept him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth. So he didn't accept Cain's because it was a work of the hands. It wasn't righteous. It wasn't what God wanted. You could be the best person in the world. A person could be the best person in the world, but not godly. Not doing it God's way. And God will say, unacceptable. I'm not going to receive that. Yeah, but he was a good person. He should go to heaven. People don't go to heaven because they're a good person. They go to heaven because they're a godly, righteous person. We're just lousy sinners. We go because we're clothed with Jesus and his righteousness. Others are serving Satan. They're doing it their way. And you share with them and you tell them, no, you have to be born again. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord. And say, no, I'm okay. Well, they're not okay. And Jesus and God says, unacceptable. See, today people want to worship God in their own way and reach God their own way. And God says, not good. And then they get angry at God. So we end there at verse 12 and we pick it up next week when God shares with us how to love. What is he talking about when he says love? Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that we're saved by grace, and that through faith in the work that you've already done. We know We know, Lord, this is permanent because you did the work and not us. We thank you for giving us the faith to believe. And we now ask, Lord, that as we worship you, our hearts would be right before you. And our worship would be in spirit and in truth. Thank you so much for sharing your word with us and giving us insight. And we just thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.